You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Tuesday, May 17th. Joining me in studio today, Diane Albers, president of Lutherans for Life Missouri. Diane, welcome to His Time.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Good to have you in studio today. I know we talk on the phone from time to time, and glad to have you in studio today. Thanks for braving the weather and swimming over to the studio today. Joining us by phone today, Pastor Jeffrey Dock, president of Options for Women. Pastor Dock, welcome back to His Time.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Glad to have you with us this morning. I enjoyed our conversation last time, learning about Options for Women prior to its opening. I think at that time you were getting ready for a walk for life to support Options for Women. How are things going in Bowling Green?
Really well. We opened on the beginning of this month, May 2nd, I think. So over a year in the planning, we've now officially been open for about 3 weeks now, 2.5 weeks or so. So it's pretty cool.
For our listeners not familiar with Bowling Green, Missouri, give us an idea of the location and a little bit about the community.
Bowling Green is a fairly small city, about 3,000 people, give or take. It's located between St. Louis and Hannibal, right off Highway 61 there. So it's a fairly rural community, but with good access to that highway, and so we hope to draw from larger cities around us rather than just our little cells.
And not too far from the river as well, right?
Right. Bowling Green is probably 12 miles from the Mississippi, so fairly close to Illinois as well.
How are things looking? It's pretty wet here in St. Louis today, and rivers are rising. How's it looking there in Bowling Green?
Yeah, it's been pretty wet for several days here, and everything is rising, including my backyard.
Well, Options for Women, you said the plans were in place for about a year and been working on it, getting ready to open Options for Women. Last time we talked, preparing for it. Tell us about the opening of Options for Women in Bowling Green, Missouri.
It went very well. We had our grand opening, as I said, I think May 2nd that was, and we're open. We are fully staffed with a volunteer receptionist, and we now have our trained counselors there every day that we're open, Monday through Friday, to have the everything available and ready to provide support to women in crisis pregnancies with the resources that they need to carry their babies to term.
What types of resources? Tell me more about the resources available through Options for Women.
So, We offer a free lab-certified, medical-grade pregnancy test. We have trained counselors who've been trained by other various organizations in the state, and confidential counseling is very important to us. We'll soon have ultrasound available. We're just waiting on the delivery of that machine, so hopefully within the next couple weeks for our first trimester ultrasound. And then information through our counselors about pregnancy, about parenting education, about adoption information, adoption referrals. They want to go that help, education on abortion, referrals for medical help down the road if they need it, post-abortion counseling, places to stay and referrals in the case to get out of abusive situations or anything like that. Baby accessories available through an Earn While You Learn program as you take parenting classes with us, and then just ongoing friendship and encouragement and whatever else we're able to offer them as they go through this.
Diane, why do you think it's important for an organization like this to exist in Northeast Missouri, Options for Women, and the resources they provide?
Well, it's very important because statistics have shown that the abortion rate is going down and women are more to choose to life for their babies. So if they're going to do that, then we need to make it easy for them so that we give them the resources that they need. And just all the things that Pastor Doc is saying, those are so important because sometimes women feel, most of the time in that situation, women feel all alone. Mm-hmm. And so Pastor Doc is providing just what they need at the time when they need it. And if he's there and they're ready, then they will choose life for their babies.
Pastor Doc, what was your motivation, your hope? Why did you get involved with Options for Women?
It came from, I don't know, there was a group that was kind of talking about it that I was a part of, and it just felt like a great idea, and it's born from just a lack of resources out here in rural areas. there aren't any crisis pregnancy centers basically north of St. Louis, which is served wonderfully by Thrive. But from north of there up until really the Iowa border, there aren't any options available. And so we just wanted to be able to provide some of those resources. I'd heard from people I know around here who run into women who want to keep their children, but they lack, or at least they think they lack, the means and resources to do so. And so we just want to be there to help deal with that when it comes up, to provide some basic services, to provide a caring and listening ear, and to help people when it sometimes feels like the world is just coming apart on them.
How has Options for Women been received by the community?
Very well. Strong support from the community, strong support from donors and fundraising. Even those who wouldn't necessarily fall into what I would define as, say, the pro-life camp are just happy that we're there offering, what we say, options to women. Our goal isn't to force anyone into anything, but just to inform them and teach them and let them know that there are other options available. I mean, if there's one thing that maybe the pro-choice lobby and the pro-life lobby would agree on, it's that no woman should ever feel like abortion is her only choice. And so our goal is to offer other options, other choices, and inform her about them so that she knows they exist.
The Walk for Life a few weeks ago, how did that go? And in preparation for, for providing support for Options for Women?
It went very well. We had good weather, which was a wonderful thing. We had a great turnout. Our goal was to raise $20,000. I don't know the final figures, but it looks like we raised more like $25,000 plus. So we did very well in that regard. So we're very excited about how that went.
Diane, what do you think other communities could learn, or other individuals in communities similar to Bowling Green that are outside of a major metropolitan area, but still a populated community that lacks some of these resources? What can individuals, churches, congregations, community leaders learn from what Options for Women has done in Bowling Green?
Well, I think the most important thing they can learn is that they can do something. And they might not be interested in starting a pregnancy center, but they could learn what the options are as far as how to get help for women, where to go to get housing, where to go to get food stamps, how do you help people to get all the things that a single woman might need. So that's really important, and Pastor Doc and his board have done an amazing job to get this up and running, and especially I'm really excited to hear that about the ultrasound machine. That's really great, mm-hmm. Pastor.
Yeah, thanks. It's as I said, we just want to provide a little perspective to women to show that there are people who care. And the ultrasound is really useful in dispelling the myth that our culture puts out there that the problem is just a blob of cells, and pointing out that, no, this, look, you can see yourself. This is a living human being with hands and feet and organs and a heartbeat, and they're developing. But, I mean, they're there, and look, you can see it yourself.
Yeah, that takes it to a whole nother level for the woman to be able to see that, because statistics show that when she sees her child, she's more likely to choose life.
So the ultrasound equipment will be arriving soon. I'm sure it takes work. That I know that from my experience with that equipment is not something that you just go out and buy from the local pharmacy. That's rather expensive equipment. I imagine that took some work in order to, and fundraising to prepare for that equipment.
Yeah, and in that regard, we were really blessed by the Catholic organization, the Knights of Columbus. They've really made it a point to the Knights of Columbus here in Missouri, especially to get ultrasound machines to opening pregnancy centers. And I mean, that's just kind of a goal they make, that if you open, you meet certain criteria. They have, of course, they'll work on getting that ultrasound machine and pay for it. And that's what we're in the midst of now, which is a great thing, because these things are not cheap, and they take a lot of training and skill to use. And so the training, once we get it, will be part of it. But yeah, it's really going to be a wonderful thing.
So do you have a nurse ready to?
Yep, we have several RNs lined up to be trained, and then we have an organization that's going to come down and train us here on our own machine, which is going to be really nice. So it's not just training on some machine somewhere, but it'll be training on the machine that we ourselves will be using there at the center.
Well, that's great. I think that will certainly make a difference for many women to be able to see that the very image of the child that is there, and to recognize, as you pointed out, that it's not just a blob of cells, but this is a child. This is a child created, and that this child is important to God and to the other people around them.
Yeah.
What is, Pastor, what's your encouragement to other communities that lack the resources like this, like options for women that we were just talking about a little bit ago, that are, you know, populated communities that have needs? They're outside of a major metropolitan area. They don't have a lot of these resources readily available to women. What's your encouragement to them?
Well, look around and see what is available. You know, that's what we did. That was part of our steering committee on this is, you know, are we just duplicating what's there? And we looked around and we discovered we weren't. And, you know, by launching into it, I mean, what kind of blew me away is, A, there was a lot of support. And Bowling Green and Pike County, where we are, I think the total population of the county is about 16,000. So it's not a massive, that's spread over who knows how many miles. So it's not a massive community, but we were able to have donors come together and support this. And, I mean, we just recently put together our budget for the coming fiscal year, and it's not an infeasible amount of money. I mean, our small community has been able to finance this thing, and I think, God willing, keep it going for a lot less than you'd think. And that's partially just because, you know, the lower cost of everything from rent to workforce to everything out here in rural areas. So I guess my encouragement would be to look at the resources that are available to them and to really ponder that maybe this is something you can do. And if you talk to other crisis pregnancy centers that have started, I mean, none of them, you know, were overflowing in volunteers and money and everything else when they started, but they were able to do it, and so many of them throughout our state are going very, very strongly.
Well, glad to have options for women open now in Bowling Green and ready to serve. And have you had the opportunity already? Have you had clients come to Options for Women?
Yeah, I don't have exact numbers because I try to stay out of that. It's a confidential thing. But I know we've had at least a few clients come in and at least have one more appointment scheduled this week. So good things.
Diane, you know, Pastor mentioned that confidentiality and avoiding judgment, that this is a place that is not about judgment, is important to them, that they maintain confidentiality. They're here simply to provide options for women who find themselves, who are pregnant, facing a pregnancy. Why is that important, this confidentiality and this to be certain that there's no judgment, no perception of judgment in the setting?
It is really important because a woman is usually, when she goes to a pregnancy help center, is torn between what should I do? You know, and she doesn't need, she knows she's done something that she's going to have to take care of one way or the other. And she doesn't need people to tell her that she's bad or she's made really poor decisions. She probably already knows that. And so what we need to do as the church is to support her and help her to see that her decision could be for life, because her child is called and redeemed and created by God. And so that's really important for us to be non-judgmental and not to talk about her, even if it weren't in a crisis pregnancy situation, or pregnancy help center situation. Even if you were just helping her as your church, you would not want to be judgmental, and you would not want to gossip. But this would be something that you would be doing, and she could see that, and she would be, you know, perhaps that would be a way for you to get the gospel to her. So not only are you saving your child, her child, but you're also saving her.
Bringing that good news of Jesus to her as well. Pastor, now Options is up and running. I know that you did the Walk for Life this year. Well, the second annual Walk for Life. Plans to continue raising support for Options for Women? Do you, any events coming up this year, or looking to ahead to next year?
Well, our two big fundraisers are this, our Walk for Life, on Mother's Day weekend. Probably going to stay there. That's where it's been. And then we have our big annual banquet, which is in November of this year, though I forget the exact date. But those are our two big fundraisers. And then just working with supporters and churches and contacting them as we have needs as we go. But yeah, the Walk for Life and our annual banquet are our big ones every year. So looking forward to that in November.
How can we find out more about Options for Women?
You can check us out on the web. Our donor support website, sort of Friends for Options for Women, is www.supportlife573.com. Supportlife573.com. And then what we're excited about that we just got up, our actual client website, the actual website of the center, is www.calloptionsforwomen.com. C-A-L-L, optionsforwomen.com. And that lists the services we provide and what we're about, and would be what someone who's facing this would look at and hopefully see that we're there to be able to help them out with it.
Well, very good. Diane, anything coming up with Lutherans for Life in Missouri?
Not necessarily in Missouri. We just had our annual meeting, and we'll just be continuing on doing our nothing big coming up, but we have a national conference coming up in October, and that will be in Bloomington, Minnesota. And it's Here We Stand, taking on the whole Luther thing. And people in Missouri will be really excited because Dr. Jean Garten is going to be one of the speakers, and we haven't seen her for a while, so that'll be really exciting.
Very good, very good. Diane Albers, President, Lutherans for Life, Missouri, thanks so much for being my guest today.
Thank you.
And the Reverend Jeffrey Dock, President of Options for Women in Bowling Green, Missouri. Pastor Dock, thanks so much for being my guest today.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
A pleasure to talk with you again. Coming up in just a little bit, going to study the daily New Testament reading, the daily lectionary. Hope you can stick around for that as we head to Waterville, Maine. We'll study with Pastor Paul Nielsen, Lutheran Church of the Resurrection. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.